All right. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today, to sharing some of our basic data about current trends in religion in the United States. And then I'm a political scientist by training, so I'll conclude my remarks with a few thoughts about religion and politics. Before I get started on that, though, I want to say just a couple words about the Pew Research Center, about who we are and what we do. Very importantly, we are a nonpartisan, nonprofit research institute. We think of ourselves as a fact tank. We do not take positions on any political or religious issues at all. And that sometimes comes as a surprise to people because they assume that our name, Pew Research Center, refers to a church pew, and they think it must therefore have some kind of religious significance to it. But that's not the case. Pew is a family name. We take our name, and we're fortunate to receive most of our funding from the Pew Charitable Trust. So that's where the name comes from. We have no clients. We do not sell anything. It's not possible to commission a Pew Research Center survey or a Pew Research Center study. Rather, we see our goal, we're fortunate to receive our funding from foundations, and we see our goal as trying the best we can to provide an objective, up-to-date source of information about contemporary facts and trends shaping our world. Make all of our information, all of our data, all of our reports freely available online, and we are always happy to answer any questions. We do a ton of different kinds of research. I'm just going to touch a little bit on a few things that we do today. We do political polling. We do demographic research about religion and other topics all around the world. We do polling internationally about religion and about other subjects. And my own area of specialization is in our polling about religion in the United States. And that's what I'll be talking about, mostly talking about today. So what do the data show? The first thing I want to point out, if you flip to slide 3 there, is that there are some really big changes, really significant changes underway in the American religious landscape. When we first conducted our big religious landscape study in 2007, we found that 78% of American adults described themselves as Christians. They identified as Protestants, Catholics, Mormons, Orthodox Christians, or other kinds of Christians. This was a huge study conducted nationwide among more than 35,000 respondents, and it included very detailed questions about people's religious affiliations, their religious beliefs, and their religious practices. When we repeated that study 7 years later in 2014, we found that the share of American adults who identify as Christians had dropped by 7 percentage points in just 7 years to 71%. Now, we haven't repeated the religious landscape study again. I don't have a third religious landscape study to share with you. But I haven't seen anything in the data that suggests that these trends have leveled off or even reversed. You can see there on that slide in the political surveys that we've conducted over the last year and a half or so, we find that 65% of American adults, 2/3, identify as Christians. You can also see there on that chart that I have not drawn a direct line connecting the two religious landscape studies to our more recent political polls, and that's intentional. We try to be very careful about the comparisons we make across surveys over time. We try very hard to only make apples-to-apples comparisons when you're looking at data. And in this case, I don't think these are quite apples-to-apples comparisons. The question wording is the same. The question that we ask people about their religious identification we developed for the 2007 religious landscape study, it asks, what is your present religion, if any? Are you Protestant, Catholic, Mormon, Orthodox, such as Greek or Russian Orthodox, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, atheist, agnostic, something else, or nothing in particular? That question has remained the same over the years, but the context of these surveys is quite different. The religious landscape studies are, as the name suggests, all about religion. They have very detailed questions about a variety of religion topics. And the religious identity question comes pretty early in the survey. Our political polls, the more recent data from our political polls, come from surveys that aren't really about religion. They're mostly about politics. But in all of those surveys, we ask that basic question about religious identity Towards the end of the survey, along with other demographic questions about age and race and education, so that we can use it to analyze the data. So that's why I haven't drawn a continuous line there. So Christianity is in decline. If you flip to the next page, you can see that that's true for both Protestantism and Catholicism. In 2007, 51% of American adults identified as Protestants. That dropped to 47% by 2014. And in our most recent polling, just 43% of American adults identify with Protestantism. That's a big change in American religion. If you think about the United States, historically, traditionally, as a majority Protestant country, that is no longer the case. Similarly, we've seen declines in the share of Americans who identify with Catholicism. For many decades, the share of Americans who identified as Catholic held steady at around a quarter of the population. We think that's begun to dip. And in our most recent polling, about one in five Americans, 20%, identify with Catholicism. We've also seen, if you flip to the next slide, that we've seen this. If Christians are declining as a share of the population, it must mean that some other group is growing. Well, what group is that? It's the religious nuns. That's N-O-N-E-S. These are people who, in response to that question I mentioned, describe themselves as either atheist or agnostic or as simply nothing in particular. When we first did the landscape study in 2007, religious nuns accounted for 16% of the population. That jumped by 7 points over the 7 years between those two studies. And currently, upwards of a quarter of American adults tell us that they have no religion, that they are atheists, agnostics, or simply nothing in particular. That's also a big change in the American religious landscape. Finally, on the next page, I want to point out that in addition to growth among the nuns, we are also seeing some modest growth among Americans who identify with faiths other than Christianity: Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, many other faiths. Currently, 7% of U.S. adults identify with a religion other than Christianity, the largest of which is Judaism, with Islam not far behind. One thing that's important to note is that these trends that we've documented over the last decade or so constitute the continuation of trends that have really been underway for several decades at this point. If you flip to the next slide, you can see that. The data on page 7 come from the General Social Survey, the GSS. The GSS is an independent research organization, is a project of the independent research organization NORC at the University of Chicago, with principal funding from the National Science Foundation. The GSS has asked people questions about their religious identity going all the way back to 1972. And what you can see there in this chart is that between the early 70s and the early 1990s or so, the Protestant and Catholic shares of the population were pretty steady. They bounced around a little bit from year to year, but they were pretty steady. Protestants accounted for upwards of 6 in 10 of the adult population. Catholics accounted for about a quarter of the population. And the share of Americans who said they had no religion was also steady and also quite low. It ranged from between 5% and about 8% in the decades between the early 70s and the early 90s. But in the early 90s, those figures began to change. The share of people who said they had no religion has gradually risen pretty steadily ever since the early 1990s. The share of Americans who identify with Protestantism has declined pretty steadily since the early 1990s. The Catholic story is a little bit more ambiguous. It's certainly more, the size of the Catholic population is certainly more stable than the size of the Protestant population. And it currently stands at 23% in the GSS. The point I want to make from these charts is not so much about the individual estimates, about the point estimates. The GSS asks a totally different question about religion than we do, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but the direction of the trend is the same, and that's the point that I want to make. So, what should we make of the growth of the nuns? Is their growth an indication that the country is becoming less religious? And here I think it's helpful to examine some of the professed beliefs and practices of religious nuns. And the first point I want to make is that they are not all non-believers. And that's a mistake you'll sometimes see made in public discourse about this group. People will sometimes conflate them with atheists, and they'll say atheists are growing rapidly as a share of the American population, and they'll point to the growth of the nuns as evidence for that. And that's a mistake that should be avoided. You can see on the next page, page 8, that in fact, most religious nuns believe in God. 6 in 10, a pretty substantial majority, in fact, tell us that they believe in God. Sizable shares of the nuns, minorities, but sizable shares of the nuns tell us that they pray with at least some regularity. A sizable minority, about 1/3, says that religion is at least somewhat important in their lives. Now, very few nuns go to church or other religious services with any regularity. That's one thing that they do not do. They really are disconnected from religious institutions, religious organizations. But nonetheless, these data show you that religious nuns, many of them at least, do have a proverbial religious pulse. So they shouldn't be conflated with non-believers. At the same time, you can see on the next slide, page 9, that religious nuns are far less religiously observant than the population as a whole. Religious nuns are about 30 points less likely than the population as a whole to say that they believe in God, and they're 40 points less likely to say that they pray regularly or that religion is an important part of their lives. We can also see, furthermore, on the next slide, that religious nuns are becoming, as a group, less religious even as they grow. So you can see there on the left side of this slide that the share of nuns who say religion is at least somewhat important in their lives declined by 7 percentage points between the first and second religious landscape study. And the share of nuns who say they pray regularly declined by 5 percentage points. And while it's true that most religious nuns say that they believe in God, the share who don't believe in God jumped by 11 percentage points between 2007 and 2014. So religious nuns are growing as a share of the population, and as they grow, they are collectively becoming less religious than they were to begin with. And the result of those twin trends, the result of the growth of the nuns combined with their increasing secularism, is that that's tugging down the nation's overall rates of religious belief and observance. You can see that on the next page. Between 2007 and 2014, the share of Americans who say they believe in God ticked down by 3 points, as did the share of Americans who say that they pray every day and the share of Americans who say that religion is very important to them. And over that same period, we saw a 4-point decline in the share of Americans who say they attend religious services at least once or twice a month. Now, these are modest changes. I don't want to overstate their magnitude. They are modest. But I think they're nevertheless significant, and I say that for a few reasons. One is that we see them across this wide variety of key measures. That's one indication that what we're seeing here is real religious change. I'm also struck that they're occurring at about the same rate. We see about the same magnitude of change. And those factors, combined with the huge size of these studies, which gives them a very small margin of error, makes me think that these really are telling indications. These really are telling signs that the country is growing less religious, not just in terms of its religious identity, but also in terms of the rates of religious beliefs and practices that we see. So, what's behind these trends? Why are they happening? And here we can point to a variety of things I hope we'll get to in our discussion. Many scholars have pointed to politics as an important factor, disillusionment with the connection between religion and right-wing politics, at least in the popular imagination, is part of what's behind this. Religious switching is certainly a key factor here. I want to point to a couple of other things. First, on the next slide, I want to point out that we see this religious change occurring across generational cohorts. People in the oldest generational cohort, people from the greatest generation, haven't changed too much religiously in recent years. But if you look at other generations, including the silent generation and baby boomers, we see that declining shares of those groups identify with Christianity and growing shares of those groups identify as religious nuns. And the changes are most pronounced among Generation Xers and especially millennials. Between the 27 and 2014 religious landscape studies, the share of millennials who identify as Christians dropped by 11 percentage points. And the share who identify as nuns jumped by 9 percentage points. So this change is occurring across groups. We're seeing people change their religious identity, change the way they describe themselves religiously. That's important. But in addition to that, another big part of what's behind these societal changes is generational replacement. Basically, a big part of what's happening is that you have older generational cohorts of Americans who, by and large, are quite religiously observant on average. And as they age and as they pass away, they are being replaced by a new generation of young adults that is simply far less religious than their parents and grandparents before them. And you can see that on the next slide, which I find striking every time I look at it. Among people from the silent generation, people born mostly in the 30s and the early 1940s, 85% describe themselves as Christians, and only about 1 in 10 are religious nuns. But if you look at millennials, fewer than 6 in 10 describe themselves as Christians, and fully 1/3 describe themselves as religious nuns. And if you look at the next page, you can see a similar pattern with respect to self-reported rates of religious attendance. People from the silent generation, most people from the silent generation, tell us that they attend religious services regularly, at least once or twice a month. By a 60 to 40 margin, regular attenders outnumber those who say they don't go to religious services very often. If you look at millennials, those numbers are basically flipped. Most millennials say they go to religious services a few times a year at most. Many of them tell us they seldom or never go. And it's only a minority, about 4 in 10, who tell us that they attend religious services regularly, at least once or twice a month. So, there's some big changes underway in the U.S. religious landscape. The country is growing religiously unaffiliated at a rapid clip. And we also see more modest, but nevertheless noticeable changes in people's religious beliefs and practices. But I want to emphasize that that's not the whole story. We have to remember that though the nuns are growing as a share of the population, most American adults continue to identify with a religion, mainly Christianity. And most of them are about as religiously observant today as they have been in the recent past. And you can see that on the next slide. These data here are based only on those people who identify with a religion, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or another faith. And what you can see is that among that group, there's basically no change at all in self-reports of religious beliefs and practices. No change in the share who say they believe in God, no change in the share who say they pray regularly or attend religious services regularly, no change in the share who say that religion is an important part of their lives. It's also important to remember that the United States remains an outlier compared to many other wealthy nations for its high level of religiousness. The United States stands out for its high levels of religiosity. This next chart is really interesting, but it's a little complicated. It shows data from 102 countries where we've conducted surveys and asked respondents, among other things, how often they pray. The y-axis there, the vertical axis, shows the percentage of people in each country who say that they pray every day. The x-axis shows GDP, gross domestic product, in that country, in each country. And what you can see on the left side of the chart there is that countries with low rates of GDP tend to have very high rates of self-reports of daily prayer. Conversely, if you move from left to right, you can see that on the right side, countries with high GDP tend to have very low shares of their populations that say that they pray every day. Which country is the outlier? It's the one country in the upper right quadrant of this chart, the United States. The United States is the only country out of these 102 that we're able to examine where we see both above average rates of daily prayer and also above average GDP. So the United States is an outlier. Finally, one other important point to keep in mind when we think about religious change in the United States is that while the United States is growing less religious, and specifically while nuns are growing as a share of the U.S. population, nuns are not growing as a share of the global population. In fact, our analysis suggests that religious nuns are projected to shrink as a share of the global population over the next 30 years or so. And you can see that on the next slide. These data, admittedly, are pretty far afield from my own research. These data are done by our demographic team, led up by Conrad Hackett, but I've been authorized to share them with you as long as I'm careful. What you can see is, I want to focus on the right side of the chart. Currently, or as of 2010, globally, religious nuns, religiously unaffiliated people, made up about 16% of the global population. By 2050, their share of the global population is projected to decline to 13%. Christians and Muslims, by contrast, are projected to grow quite rapidly. Muslims are projected to grow quite rapidly as a share of the global population. Christians, the world's religious, the world's largest single religious group, are projected to hold steady. Why is this? This is because the places where nuns are growing, the United States, parts of Europe, parts of Asia, tend to be places where population growth is relatively modest, or in some places, in some cases, it's even negative. Conversely, the places in the world where population is growing quite rapidly, think Africa, think parts of Latin America, parts of Asia, are places that on average are quite religious. And so you can think of the United States in some ways, in terms of the growth of the nuns, as kind of an exception to the overall worldwide pattern. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. Sometimes, I know speaking for myself, I can lose sight of that, focusing so much on the United States. I think that's important to remember. So we've covered a lot about the U.S. religious landscape, and we've seen how the United States, a little bit about how the United States fits into the context of religion around the world. Of course, we're a little more than a year out from a big election, and so I want to conclude with just a few thoughts about religion and politics, and I want to tackle a couple of key questions. First, I want to think about what's the connection between religion and the parties. And then second, I want to consider the question, whither white evangelical Protestants? Are their numbers in decline? And if so, why is that? More specifically, I want to consider the question, are people abandoning the evangelical label because of the connection between evangelicalism and support for Donald Trump, which is a possibility that some observers have offered might be taking place. But first, what's the connection between religion and the parties? You know, in popular discourse, it can often seem that the GOP is the party of religious voters, and the Democratic Party is the home of the non-religious. And there is some reason for that. We know that white evangelical Protestants are, on average, among the most religiously devout, observant populations in the country. And we also know, and you can see on the next chart, that they are also one of the most strongly and consistently Republican constituencies in American politics. In our most recent published data from 2017, we're seeing that more than three-quarters of white evangelical Protestants identify with or lean toward the Republican Party when asked about their party identification. Fewer than one in five identify with or lean toward the Democratic Party. That's a big, big Republican constituency. I want to point out one other really important thing about this chart. Evangelicals aren't just one of the most consistently Republican constituencies in the population. They're also increasingly Republican. Back in 2000, the number's not labeled here, but back in 2000, 58% of white evangelical Protestants in our surveys identified with the Republican Party. So the share of evangelicals already strongly Republican, even as of a couple decades ago, is 20 points more Republican today than it was in 2000. Now, the flip side of this is also true. If you look at the next slide, you can see that while white evangelical Protestants are strongly Republican, religious nuns are strongly Democratic. In our most recent data, two-thirds of atheists and agnostics and people who say their religion is just nothing in particular say they identify with or lean toward the Democratic Party. Only 22% are Republicans. And just as white evangelical Protestants have grown more Republican in recent decades, so too have religious nuns grown more Democratic. In fact, they've become about 20 points more Democratic over the last couple decades than they were to begin with. So I think this is what people have in mind, the strong Republicanism of white evangelicals, the strong Democratic support of religious nuns when they think about the Republican Party as the party of religious voters and the Democratic Party as the party of the non-religious. But it's also true that the Democratic Party is home to many, many deeply religious people. The next slide includes results from a little index we put together of religiousness, of religiosity. It combines measures of belief in God, frequency of religious attendance, frequency of prayer, and people's self-reports of how important religion is in their lives. And we built a little scale and we ranked people, ranked respondents from low to high in terms of their religiosity. And you can see here that the Republican Party is, in fact, on average, significantly more religious than the Democratic Party. Two-thirds of Republicans score high on this index of religiosity. And Democrats are twice as likely as Republicans to score at the low end of this scale of religiosity. But notice as well that fully half of Democrats and those who lean toward the Democratic Party score high on this index of religiosity. So there are many believers among within the Democratic Party. And the next slide shows something that I think is really important. There are big divisions among Democrats. There are big division, big differences in the religiousness of Democrats among people from different racial and ethnic backgrounds. You can see here that three-quarters of African-American Democrats score high on the scale of religiosity. And almost 6 in 10 Hispanic Democrats also score high on this scale of religiosity. African-Americans, Hispanics, we know are strongly Democratic constituencies. They are also, on average, quite religious. In fact, one thing that's striking to me about this chart is that at least in their religiousness, at least on this index, African-American and Hispanic Democrats look more like Republicans than they do like white Democrats. If there is a non-religious, liberal constituency in American politics, it's really to be found among white Democrats. They are the outlier in this sense. They are the group that that really has large numbers who score at the low end of this scale of religiosity. I think this is important to keep in mind, especially when we think about conversations about the religious left. Where is the religious left? Is there a religious left? Yes, there is. There has been for a long time, and here it is. This is not a new thing. Many racial and ethnic minorities in the United States are both strongly Democratic and deeply religious, and that's been the case for a long time. So, on to the second question, onto the last question I want to cover. Whither white evangelical Protestants? Are their numbers in decline? Are people abandoning the evangelical label because of the connection between evangelicalism and support for Trump? And here, I would suggest that the answer is no. At least not really, at least not according to the data. We don't see evidence for this. Now, it is true that the share of Americans who are white evangelical Protestants is declining. You can see that on the next page. In our surveys in 2009, 20% of all U.S. adults were white evangelical, self-described born-again or evangelical Protestants. Today, that number stands at 17%. So the share of Americans who are white evangelical Protestants is declining. But it's important to understand why and how this is happening. This is happening because whites are declining as a share of the population, and it's happening because Christians are declining as a share of whites, just as they are as a share of all racial and ethnic groups. This doesn't really have much to do with religion or politics. And here's what I mean. If you flip to the next slide, these slides are going to build on each other. Here's what I mean. Between 2009 and today, the share of American adults who are white declined from 69% or so to 64% or so. And this just reflects demographic trends that we all know are underway. People from racial and ethnic minority groups constitute a growing share of the U.S. population. The white share of the population is declining. We can see, furthermore, if you flip to the next page, that the share of whites who are Christians of all sorts, Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox Christians, Mormons, the share of whites who identify with Christianity is declining very rapidly, from 77% in our surveys in 2009 to 67% today. This is not unique to whites. Christians are declining and nuns are growing as a share of all of the racial and ethnic groups that we're able to analyze in our surveys. So the pool from which white evangelical Protestants are drawn has indeed shrunk. It has shrunk as a result of broad demographic changes in the racial and ethnic composition of the country, and because the share of white adults who identify as Christians has shrunk among white people just as among the country as a whole. The white evangelical Protestant share of the population has not declined because white Christians are abandoning the evangelical label. Indeed, if you flip to the next slide, you can see that among white Christians, among the pool of people who describe themselves as Christians and who are also white, the share who identify with as evangelical or born-again Protestants is just as high today, if anything, perhaps a tick higher than it was a decade ago. It has changed not a bit. So there's no evidence here, at least in the aggregate. This doesn't rule out individual change of roughly offsetting proportions in both directions. But at least in the aggregate, this suggests there's no mass withdrawal, no mass abandonment of the evangelical as a result of support for Trump among evangelicals or any other political development for that matter, at least not over the past decade. So we've covered a lot of ground here. I hope at least some of this information has been new and has been informative and can be helpful. I do want to emphasize that I've really just scratched the surface of the data that Pew Research Center has available. As I mentioned, we do a lot of different kinds of research. We collect a lot of data. And so I want to conclude by just encouraging you, if you ever have questions about whether or not we have data, please reach out and ask me or others among my colleagues. If you ever have questions about reports that we've put out and we can be helpful in any way, please don't hesitate to let us know. I hope that's been helpful. I'll leave it at that and look forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much, Greg. Yeah. I neglected to mention one or two things earlier, one of which is obviously that the doctorate that Greg has from UVA and the doctorate that Dan has from Georgetown, you know, is translated in a way that is discernible and appreciable on the talk shows and has a sort of a relevance. That's one of the things that we're super grateful for in each of their presentations and being here. I think you'll see how they fit together in a moment. But most importantly, we're going to try to keep a little queue up here, just like with Faith Angle Gatherings. And so if you've got a question, if you can just signal, we'll make sure that you're on the list, and we'll get into it shortly to follow Dan. So we'll basically hear from Dan, then we'll take about 30 minutes of conversation, take a quick break, and come back and finish for the last hour. So Dan Cox, welcome.
Great. Delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Excited to be able to engage with you all. Greg, thanks for that great presentation and setting the stage for, you know, where we've been and perhaps where we're going religiously, demographically. My presentation is going to look at three basic areas. First, the growth of non-religion in the U.S., unaffiliated or the nuns. Next, I want to look at religious polarization. Greg touched on this a little bit.
looking at changing patterns of religious identity, belief and behavior between conservatives and liberals, and lastly, looking at sort of the shifting cultural and social context that we find ourselves in, because that plays a really significant role on our political, religious, and other choices. So looking at non-religion, so flipping to the first page, this chart is roughly familiar. Greg presented this data, so looking at the percent of Americans who are religiously unaffiliated has increased dramatically, but most of it has been relatively recent. It's starting in the early 1990s. Greg's data showed that even more recent data shows that it's ticked up a few points since 2018. But this, and again, this is somewhat familiar, but it's important and it bears mentioning, that religious identity is incredibly stratified by age. So you look at the next second slide on that page. There's always been a correlation between age and religious identity. So looking back at 1986, young people were more likely to be unaffiliated in 1986 than older Americans. So 10% of young adults age 18 to 29 were unaffiliated that year, compared to 3% of seniors age 65 and up. Well, the pattern has shifted pretty remarkably. So in 2016, this is based on General Social Survey data and the American Values Atlas from PRI, nearly 4 in 10 Americans, young adults, are religiously unaffiliated, compared to 12% of seniors. So there's always been this relationship, but it's become much stronger in recent years. The next slide on the next page shows the same kind of linear relationship. Again, but if you go back, the relationship between age and religiosity becomes less steep. So younger people are more unaffiliated, but not as dramatically. And one of the really interesting things in some of the work that I've focused on at Pew PRI and now at AEI is understanding the reasons why people are disaffiliating. In fact, I'll get into this a little bit, but it's not just disaffiliation that's happening. It's the fact that younger Americans today are less likely to be raised in religious households. And that's incredibly important for our understanding of how people become religious as adults. So one of the really interesting things that the General Social Survey reveals is that Americans who were raised without religion, which is still a relatively small part of the population overall, are more likely to stay unaffiliated as adults. So in the 1970s, only a third of Americans who were raised non-religious, and that could be atheist, agnostic, or just largely detached from a congregation, by adulthood, two-thirds were identified as part of some religious congregation or identity. In the 2010s, so 2010 to 2018, 63% of Americans who were raised non-religious remain so as adults. And there's a couple reasons why that is happening. First, one of the really interesting things about why people are leaving, and Pew's done some great work on this as well, we find that there's not a sort of seminal moment or event that most people can put their thumb on as to why they've left their formative religious identity. Most people say, like, the most common response is, "I simply stopped believing." Some of the larger political issues, you know, the clergy sex abuse scandals, congregations being too involved in politics, don't register nearly as frequent responses among people who've left. The other really notable thing is when people are leaving. The majority of Americans who are leaving religion do so before their 18th birthday, while they're still ostensibly living with their parents. So 62% of Americans who say they've disaffiliated said they did so under the age of 18. So this really, I think, begs the question, what is, you know, happening in American households and families that may be inducing this? And again, if you look at, this is a relatively new pattern. So if you look at the next slide at the top of the page, so again, among young adults age 18 to 29, 8 in 10 said they're leaving before age 18. But if you look at seniors age 65 and up, only 38% said that they left during this time. The bulk left during their sort of college age and post-college age years. So the pattern of disaffiliation has changed over time. And that leads me to sort of wonder what is going on with the dynamics and the structure of American families that may be somewhat responsible. One thing we know is that the divorce rate peaked around 1980, just as millennials were starting to be born. And that has a really significant impact on adult religious behavior and beliefs. So young people who were, or Americans who were raised by divorced parents are much more likely to say that they don't attend often. So if you look at the top bar, Americans who had divorced or separated parents during their childhood, only 21% say they currently attend religious services weekly or more. If you look at folks who parents were married during the course of their formative years, 34% say they now attend religious services weekly or more. Another aspect that has changed, and again, Pew is a great resource for this, and they've done a lot of work on looking at rising interreligious marriages. Americans who are raised in religiously mixed households participate less in religious activities in childhood, and we can go into some of the reasons for this. But if you look at a variety of different religious activities, whether it's saying grace or praying with their family, attending religious services with family members, or reading scripture, Americans who are raised with parents with different religious backgrounds, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, Catholic, I mean, they are just less exposed to these formative religious experiences. Some work that I've done and I published at 538 looking at the relationship between religious diversity and religious commitment suggests that there's a relationship. We can't determine whether it's causal or not. This is just correlational data. But the most religiously diverse states also tend to be those that are have the lowest levels of religious commitment. So if you look at Mississippi, they tend to be among the least religiously diverse, and Mississippians tend to be the most religious. And this is based on Gallup data. If you look at sort of experientially, Americans with diverse religious networks attend religious services less often. There's a lot of really interesting analysis that we can do just by looking at the people with whom you engage with and interact with regularly. This area of research is called social network analysis. It isn't done a lot, but it's done in the General Social Survey. I've done it, but unfortunately not so recently. And you basically ask people, who are the 5 to 7 people with whom you engage most often? And then once you get established who those really important figures are, you get a variety of information about them. So their age, their race, their gender, their politics, their religion. That exposure to those different types of people tends to have a really significant impact on a variety of personal behavior, one of which I'm looking at here is religious attendance. So people who have low religious diversity, so that most people around them are similar to themselves, tend to be much more engaged religiously. In this case, they attend religious services more often. So people with high religious diversity in their personal network, so say I'm Catholic, but all my friends are Jews, Muslims, Hindus, maybe atheists, I'm much less likely to attend religious services regularly. And again, none of this is causal, so we can't definitively say that having a diverse social network religiously makes you less religious, but yet the findings, I think, are pretty significant. The other thing, to swing back on this question about why are people raised in non-religious households remaining non-religious, at least in terms of their religious identity? One of the things that's happening is that secular people are prioritizing secular identity in their social networks. In this case, in their partners and spouses. So people who are secular or non-religious are much more likely to marry someone who is also secular than they were in the past. So if you look at the 1970s, 63% of people who are unaffiliated end up marrying someone who's religious. And this is part of why people return to religion when they got married and had kids. So if I'm secular, I married someone who's religious. We wanted to raise our kids religious. We went back to church, or I went back to church, and that's how that the sort of life cycle pattern occurred. What's happening now is increasingly that's not happening. Secular people are marrying other secular people, whether it's because they're logging online on sites like Atheist Passions or other social networking sites, or the fact that there are more non-religious people out there for me to choose from as prospective partner or spouse. Young people today have way more options in terms of that than they did a generation earlier. But it's incredibly important. If you look at the religious behavior of people who are in those types of unions, where both people are secular, they express far less religiosity than people who are in sort of mixed partnerships or marriages. I'm going to switch gears here. And again, Greg covered some of this. But while Greg focused on sort of the partisan attachments, I want to focus on the ideological differences between conservatives and liberals when it comes to religion. So in the early 1990s, and I start there, the GSS data goes back to the early 70s, but I started in the 1990s because that's when a lot of these changes really began. So in 1989, only 13% of liberals, 6% of conservatives identified as unaffiliated, so not a huge gap. Moderates were somewhere in between. And if we look ahead, what we see is that there's a growing gap between the religious identity of conservatives and liberals. So 38% of liberals are unaffiliated today, or at least in 2018 based on this data, and conservatives only 13%. The other thing, and one of the reasons, and we can get into this about the religious left, I know at least some of you are interested in that, that I think there is this challenge is that if you look generationally, the youngest liberals are also the least religious. Greg is right to point out that there's a huge amount of religious diversity by race. So if you look at a lot of the growth among non-religion is occurring among white Americans, but still that growth is occurring among liberals overall. The other thing that, and I'm going to slow down here. I know I've been going pretty fast, but I want to look at the relationship between political ideology and religious identity. And so I looked at what is the relationship, at the correlation in 2018 and 1989, again based on GSS data. And as you can see, in 2018 there is a really strong relationship between one's political ideology and one's religious identity. So people who identify as extremely liberal, half of those folks are unaffiliated. People who are extremely conservative, only 8% are unaffiliated. So the polls between the most conservative and most liberal, the differences are increasing. If you look at 1989, 7% of extreme conservatives or folks who were extremely conservative were unaffiliated compared to 20% of folks who were extremely liberal. So that's a pretty significant shift over the last 30 or so years. And it suggests that there's less common ground, at least when it comes religiously, to people with very different political views. What's also happening is that we're seeing increasing disaffiliation among liberals. So the number of liberals who are members of a congregation, in 2000, 56% said that they are members of a congregation. Only 37% say so today. We see a drop among conservatives as well, but it's far less sharp. Liberals are also declining in their confidence in religion. So this is a question from the GSS as well. Do you have complete or a great deal of confidence in churches and religious organizations? Conservatives barely budged over that time frame. And liberals have dropped roughly in half. So 41% of liberals in 1991 said they had a complete or a great deal of confidence in churches and religious organizations, compared to 19% today. And a lot of this is being driven by the fact that more liberals are unaffiliated. I think that the point that Greg made in his presentation about the fact that if you look at people who are religiously affiliated, beliefs, behaviors have remained relatively stable, and I think the same is true among liberals. If you look at religious liberals, they don't look that different from religious liberals a generation earlier. There's just far fewer of them. The other thing that's happening, and I mentioned this previously, but we're seeing increasing secular homogamy among liberals, so the tendency to marry someone who is like you. So 62% of non-religious liberals say that their partner or spouse is also not religious. You don't see the same pattern happening among conservatives. So even secular conservatives are more likely to marry someone who's religious. And that suggests that liberals are prioritizing religious identity more so, or at least secular identity more so than conservatives. And there's some actually interesting data from dating sites. I know I sort of mentioned it earlier. And I think it's Match. But one of the big dating sites, they look at a lot of the different demographic data they have and who matches with who and what predicts greater matching. And they ran some data by religion, looking at what religious identity predicts matching with other folks. The religious identity that predicted the most, the strongest correlation of a match with someone of like religious identity, so it wasn't Catholics, it wasn't Protestants, it wasn't Jewish identity, it wasn't Muslim, it was atheists. Atheists were more likely to match with other atheists than any other religious group was to match with their co-religionists, which I think is pretty telling. Lastly, I want to suggest that this matters, because people, liberal parents who are non-religious are less likely to raise their children in religion, suggesting that this growth of non-religion among liberals could potentially accelerate, and the gap between conservatives and liberals could increase because they're raising their kids non-religious. And while religious identity is certainly fluid in the U.S., there's nothing that more strongly predicts adult religious identity, belief, and behavior than childhood experiences. So among liberal parents, only half pray or read scripture to their children. Fewer than half said they send their children to Sunday school or religious education programs. But they're equally likely to do volunteer work. This is from this awesome study that Greg cited, the Pew's 2014 Religious Landscape Survey. So he can fact check in here too. Lastly, I want to look at the sort of shifting religious and cultural context. Because again, and I cannot say this enough, but the sort of broader social context within which we make decisions about religion impacts so much. So the fact that my friends are mostly not religious or mostly religious has a huge impact on my own personal choices and behavior. And the fact is that this generation of young folks is very, very different and has very different ideas about religion and what it means than previous generations. So for instance, only a third of young adults say that being Christian is an important part of being truly American. Fewer than half said being born in the U.S., and only about half say being Christian is an important part of being truly American. But if you look at seniors, three-quarters say this. And again, a lot of this is being driven by the fact that young folks are disproportionately likely to have unaffiliated in their ranks. We're also seeing shifts about the relationship between morality and belief in God. Again, this comes from some Pew Research Center data. In 2011, there's roughly equal numbers of people said that it was necessary to believe in God to be moral and not. By 2017, a majority of Americans are saying that it is not necessary to believe in God to be moral. This runs or is consistent with data that we see from Gallup showing that views of atheists are not nearly as negative as they used to be. They're still among the least liked religious groups. They're sort of competing with Muslims for that. That category, but over the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a sort of a softening in negative views. There's of course, a generational component. Young adults far less likely to say that you need to believe in God to be moral, but the majority of seniors say that you do. And lastly, and I love citing this. I think I try to cite it in every presentation that I give. Young adults today are more likely to know an atheist than an evangelical Christian, which I find really encapsulates the sort of different sort of social milieu of young adults today. So when you think about choices and perspectives on religion, I think this is just an important